Hey, hello, welcome to episode. Really? Episode 41 of the unofficial Hunter x Hunter podcast. My name is Damon Dr. Foxy Brown, and I am apparently so clumsy that I still hit my hand on this despite knowing it was there. So awesome.
Hi, clumsy.
Shut up. Diego.
Yes. Go, yeah. Diego, go is here.
And we're back, bitches. I'm Bullet Beast.
Okay, so we have two episodes to discuss, as is starting to become a theme. Both episodes, I don't remember, 41 and 42, we're now behind.
Yeah. Yes. We talked about this last time, remember?
No, but last time we were tied. Now we're
behind. Yeah, but now we're behind. We didn't record this past week, and now we're recording now. We'll catch up on episode 45, it's supposed to be delayed by a week.
Okay.
We've known that, by the way. Heads up. Episode 45 will be delayed a week because of some sort of Japanese broadcast or something. So don't look for it.
Or some kind of Japanese golf or something, I'm sure.
I'm sure. They're pretty big into golf over there. But episode 41 is called Gathering of Heroes. And episode 42 is called Defend and Attack.
Okay.
So, did we want to get to the episodes?
Yeah, you can go ahead and okay. Start describing them.
Alright. So, we open up episode 41 with the Hawk basically arriving and Gon and Killua arriving to and York New. And headed to this internet cafe to look for information. Basically, the link that Maluki gave them for the Hunter x Hunter website. Which, if I remember correctly, I can remember in the... I don't know if you guys remember, but in the 1999 anime. Like, it showed, like, Yorkshin or York New was in Italy. Right?
Did it show that?
Yeah, it shows like Gon and Killua like chilling there, like eating pasta and pizza.
Look, like, New like, York Italy. Is a very multicultural city.
Right, but like the map, like in the map, like they show the map like in upside down Italy. Basically, it's like the boot.
Maybe the map is just mistaken.
So then they showed them going there and whatnot, and it's all artisan, and there's like they're at a museum and some other stuff, but
it still sounds like New York to me.
Yeah, right. That still sounds like New York.
Maybe. But they get to this this internet cafe, and they type in the link and whatever, and he swipes the card, and immediately the Nen takes them into the website where they're at this bar, and this bartender is telling them information about Greed Island. And I thought that was really handled really well, because in the manga... And in the original anime, it's just a computer screen. Like, they don't actually go into the actual, like, bar area. And I think even Gon tries to grab, like, the drink that the guy made.
And yeah, he tries to make this really quick, I didn't just do that move.
Mm-hmm. Right.
It's like, don't worry about that. Yeah. No one saw me fuck up.
It's okay. Like instincts he's inheriting from Mito.
Yeah. He's like, nope, none of that shit. But I thought that was actually kind of cool that Madhouse did something like that, where it's like, yeah, see, Nen is everywhere if you're a hunter, not just, you know, for now that you're a part of this world, it's more Nen infused. But the kids just find out that the price of the game is going to be 8.9 billion Jenny, and that there's going to be 7 copies being sold or being going out for auction at the auction. And that the level of rank for the item for Greed Island is like a level G, which is really, really low. Basically, because as long as you have money, you're capable of finding it. And I think Killua makes a comment about that in next episode about how the reason why items are harder and harder to find. Is because they're priceless, like they don't have any money, like so that's why they would be like something like A ranked or something like that would be really extremely hard to find because you can't just buy it. but they decide to try to, like, basically do a sell their own items or buy items on what is clearly eBay.
Mm-hmm.
But it's all hunterized, so you don't get to see that. And they try to, like, do the...
So would that be Hunt Bay or Hunter Bay?
It's Hunter Bay. Okay. It's definitely Hunter Bay. That sounds a lot cooler. But the they make a lot of bad purchases, and they lose money. So then they get all depressed. And then we get back to Kurapika, and I'm actually surprised that we didn't get to see any filler for here. Because we remember last time we talked about it, we thought that there was going to be some filler of how they got this, their items, their respective items. Instead, we just jump right back where, like, where the manga initially took us. But they just show up back, and they all have their items, their respective items, and they all end up getting hired, and they get they get introduced to Neon.
Yeah, and then we get that moment where Adult Zorn is like, "We will kill them, no matter who you are, if you try to get the boss." And then he crushes a perfectly good pointer.
Right.
And puts it in his pocket this time.
They walk past the portrait of, I think this is the guy that you were asking questions about before, that looks to be in screaming pain and trapped in some sort of weird gooey liquid. And Kurapika draws attention to the portrait, and he's just like, "Yeah, well, this is what happens when you do a bad job of protecting the boss, and you don't listen to me. And remember how you were trying to question me earlier? Yeah."
So this is why you keep your mouth shut. It's like, otherwise you end up as being, as you know, some sort of, like, art piece in this house. That couch over there, that used to be a guy too.
Yes.
It's like you're sitting on him. His name was Sammy. He did a shitty job.
And he was really fat, so he just stuffed him. Made a couch.
Yeah. But we get introduced to Neon. And, like, I was actually surprised how, like, I guess cutesy she came off. Maybe just because the dub boys, or the boys that they picked for her. Like, obviously, like, the way that she was voiced in the original anime, in the 1999 one, was a little bit different than this, but it's still, like, knowing what happens and what she does, it's still like, oh, man, she's, like, and the things that she wants, too. She's like, "Yay, I want a mummy's hand, and, like, want the eyes of this clan who've been killed and murdered," in such a cute voice that you're like, "What the fuck is wrong with you?" Like,
this is what happens when you don't discipline your children, parents.
Yep.
You give them whatever they want just so you could get them to use their strangely acquired magical powers on your behalf.
Mm-hmm. Right. Well, I mean, I guess it's kind of an even trade, because for every bullshit thing that she asks for, she's also kind of like servicing her dad's friends. Not in the kind of way that you think. It just...
Yeah, you chose a poor word. I know.
I meant kind of like provide services for them, like the whole fortune telling thing that happens later on in the episode. Mm-hmm. But, yeah, so they end up getting in the car, right, after they meet her, like, they talk on the phone, or what ends up happening? I forget.
We go to Carollo, who's chilling.
Oh, right. We get to meet all the spiders.
Mm-hmm.
And, like, the song comes on. I love this, the theme that they picked for them. That was awesome.
I'm happy with the voice actor they got for Shalnark.
Yeah. His voice is so high-pitched and annoying. Yeah.
It's like pretty much the voice I use, but in Japanese, and a little higher pitch.
Please stop talking, Shalnark.
It's crazy that you mentioned that, because like when Melody came on and she was doing her voice, like it sounded like it was Foxy voicing her in Japanese. Just because the way that she did it, I was like, oh, that sounds perfect. That's kind of like how she was doing her.
That was like, because I did it like how I imagined in the back of my mind they did it in the first series.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Yeah, that's the same thing for Shellnark. Like, in the first anime, he was like super Genki bro, and of course in the manga as well, but you could actually hear it in his voice in the anime. So that's what I went for. And that's what they recreated here, and I love it.
Yep. I couldn't tell for sure, but I think Pakurumi was doing her woman voice.
Mm-hmm. Oh, it's damn, so I forgot to pay attention for that.
It's so hard to tell. There's no real difference between the woman voice and the young teenage male voice.
Yeah. I feel like she uses whatever she feels like now.
I think
she's gotten to a point.
I don't think she cares anymore. Mm-hmm. It's weird because her natural speaking voice is like the young teenage male voice.
Mm-hmm.
But everyone kept asking Machi about Hisoka. She's like,
they were talking about, like, this is where we found out that the eighth and the fourth members are brand new. The eighth member being Shizuku. And she comes in after they mentioned, like, where is she at? And she comes in, like, with oversized glasses, which I always thought was a very interesting character choice for her, but, you know, whatever. But then they start asking about Hisoka, like Foxy was saying. But then we go back to the all the cars driving towards the city.
Mm-hmm.
And we see Neon with her huge-ass shoes, like, very much, like... You compared it to, like, what are they, like, Kingdom Hearts shoes, right? When we were, really, like, looking at the manga?
Yes.
They look even weirder than those now, though. At least the way they are in this anime. It looks like shoes on top of shoes. Like slippers on top of shoes.
Yeah, it's like mounts on top of mounts. That's the thing. But on their drive over there, then we find out what Neon's ability is. She has the ability to tell the fortune of people, and she basically does it in some sort of like poem. And what do you guys think about the way that she was like they animated the ghost writer?
I couldn't stop laughing at it.
With his little hands?
The little tiny hands.
Little tiny creeper hands, yeah.
Yeah.
It looked like it was trying so desperately to hold on to her.
Yeah.
And then...
Well, I mean, I thought it was actually kind of cool that they didn't go with... remember, like, in the first anime, it was, like, green, so it looked a lot like Slimer.
Yeah.
Ghostbusters.
Mm-hmm.
So that's why I was like, oh, good, they went with blue or something, you know, that wasn't... So it was different. So it was actually kind of interesting and cool just to see that. But
she had a whole bunch of them to do. So by the end, the Ghost Rider was super tired. Yeah. And it could barely move her hand.
I still think it was kind of cool that they incorporate all the little like the characters for her writing. Like, you know, when people's moves and abilities come on, like they put the little symbols, the Japanese symbols, and so that was, I thought that was, it was cool that they were going to keep that going. And I don't know if you guys noticed, but on their pencil, like at the very top is it's the bunny, the Sailor Moon bunny.
Oh, really?
Right. That's what I noticed that from. Like, I was like, I feel like I've seen this bunny before.
Yeah, okay. It's the, you know how Togashi has, he's the dog and she's the bunny.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, so it was that. But here's where we pass by the rest of the spiders, except for Hisoka. And they end up asking Machi about Hisoka. And about, you know, is he going to be here? Is he going to be here? Where is he? And they don't understand. And then Nobunaga and Franklin end up getting in a fight. Just because. Then when that happened, dude, like when they, like the way that was animated, when like he punched him and like he blocked it with a sword, I was like, oh my god, that looks awesome. I can't wait until they show the other, like the fight stuff.
Just to see that everyone else just walked away. He's like, leave them, let them be stupid.
Well, fucking
Fate. Like, they'll catch up.
Yeah, Phaeton's like, yeah, it's okay. They're gonna be like whatever. But as far as voices for the spiders, are we all on board? Like, what's someone that you were like, I need to listen to him some more before I make my decision?
I mean, Krollo, definitely. I need to hear some more. Just because I haven't heard much of him talking, period. Phaeton, I know he got among the spiders, he probably got some of the most lines. I just don't remember his voice for some reason. But other than that, with the exception of Shalnork, I'm pretty sure I like everyone.
I thought Nobunaga fit perfectly, like the way that I picture him sounding. And then Franklin as well.
Yeah, I like everybody
Shalnork.
so far.
Yeah, Shalnork was
I
like
think
pretty sick.
for Corollo, we'll have to see during his his awesome monologues that he does. That'll be
Okay.
the deciding factor for me, how well he does those.
Yeah, no, definitely. And I think you mentioned my problem with Shalnork's voice already. Just it's just kind of like way too high pitched and annoying, but he's to me he's always been like an annoying character, so.
Just never annoying to me. I always liked him because he's a horrible dick.
Well, yeah, that's
You're
the whole
happy
thing.
about it.
That's the point. It's like it's supposed to be that he's gonna be a dick, and he's a horrible character in that sense. So I'm not saying that I don't like him. I'm just saying like he's a horrible person.
That's why I like him.
The Bane part of the episode for the spiders was the acquiring of their mission. And after they basically everyone keeps harping on how Ahsoka's not going to show up and he's going to be late. And if he's late, I guess you get murdered. I don't understand what the trepidation was there. It's like, oh, well, is he going to make it? With the assumption being if you don't make it, seeing as it was the meeting was called for everyone, it would be a problem. And I guess since Bashi's responsibility was to bring him, they seem to imply like it would be a problem for her too. And then he just like shows up in the darkness like a creep.
Well, you know how clowns are. Clowns like to come out of the darkness, you know. That's how they show up to places.
Like, I've been here all along.
Yeah.
What are you guys
I've just been
into?
here watching you guys from the corner. Yeah, and then he straight up walks up to Machi and he's like, "See, if I wouldn't have come, I would have never gotten to see your Nen stitches again."
It's like, I know you would have hated me forever if I didn't come. And she's just like,
Right.
no, I would have been pretty happy if you didn't show up. So that means we
Yeah.
could kill you.
And then as soon as like they finish his introduction, Shalnork turns around and tells Corolla that we're all here. And then the music starts, and this is the Spiders theme. And I was like, when the OST came out, and I listened to it, I was like, oh my God, this is gonna be amazing, just because it sounds so like very much like a choir, like church choir-ish, I guess. Like, and there's the other version of it that makes it sound like it's like a guitar's playing, like very Venice, like Italian mob that you don't want to like kind of mess with, which I thought was really fitting based on the fact that they're basically like better than the mob in this case, than the mafia.
Yes.
So I was looking forward to scenes that they're going to show it, and this is like one of the perfect scenes where Corlo speaks for the very first time and tells them their plan.
So what you have is, again, we've heard that this is the greatest auction to happen on Earth, and he says that, we're gonna be stealing stuff from the auction. So they're like, okay, awesome. What are you gonna be stealing? Like, one of them probably Nobunaga comments on swords. Like, you're talking about jewels, other BS, and he's like, no. What do you think we are? We're gonna steal everything. And the ominous sounding music is playing in the background, and everyone is like, by Jove, that sounds awesome.
Yeah, Uvogin can barely keep himself like from just, I don't know, climaxing everywhere.
It's like, kick ass, let's do it.
Yeah, I just still like all the shock faces, like when Corlo's like, "We're gonna steal everything," and everybody's like, "What?" And like, it's just the shock face value of everyone.
Like, that's one of the moments where I wish I was seeing this for the first time.
I
It's like
know.
what everyone would think as they come across. And again, you have the event is being put on by the mafia. One would assume they have enough money to hire hunters. If a little known family like the Nastrag clan can afford to hire a bunch of hunters, they should be able to do it too. So As legendary as these spiders are, how are they possibly going to be able to steal everything? Like, that's the feeling I wish I could have had. Mm-hmm. But I already knew the answer.
You can still kind of have it if you hit yourself over the head to kind of cause some sort of memory loss.
I'm not into brain damage.
Well, yeah, but she would also have to be lucky because she could just lose something else instead. You know?
Like my life.
Yeah, that maybe. Or
that we wouldn't want.
Or the ability to control your bladder. You know,
that would suck.
Yeah.
But
I like being able to go to the bathroom when I want.
But so we like go back to Kurapika, and Kurapika, they show them all the items that they're supposed to be getting at the auction because now they've been hired officially. And then the sun is rising. And he's out on the porch, on the patio, just kind of looking and saying that, you know, the spiders are coming. I know they're going to be there.
I can feel it in my blood.
Mm-hmm. Oh, of course, you know, when they get to the Kurta eyes and the slide with the Kurta eyes, Kurapika's eyes, you could tell they're already going red from behind the black contacts.
That's the weirdest thing. Why are his eyes blue?
And then Melody's like, the fuck is wrong with this guy?
Because if you do brown and red, that makes blue red.
No. Blue is primary color. No.
Yeah. So you can't mix those two. And then
you can't make a primary color.
All right. He's like, so that was the end of episode 41. And then episode 42, we open up with Gon and Killua at the market. And, like, I don't know why, but for some reason, every single time I see a market scene like this, it always reminds me of, like, Final Fantasy 13, or not 13, Final Fantasy 12, mm-hmm. where they have that big-ass city, and there's that, like, market place where you just walk down and start bumping into people and shit.
That's exactly what you're talking about.
Yeah, so... Like, when I saw this, I was like, oh, man, like, are they going to be, like, stopping by to get food? Or like, what are they going to do? Because, I mean, obviously, in my mind, I think that most of these episodes are going to be filler-induced in some way or another. But so far, it's been, like, none. It's been all, like, manga content.
So Killua was like, hey, you think Kurapika and Leoria are going to meet up with us? I was like, of course they are. They're our friends, and I believe in them. Because it was just like, no, they don't really have any incentive to come meet us again.
Mm-hmm.
And Killua thinks to himself, man, you really should get a cell phone. Like, you living out here in this world with no means for anyone to contact you. People giving you their phone numbers, and you're just writing it down on pieces of paper. It's ridiculous. Yeah,
and you see the creepy dolls as he's...
Yeah. Creepy, very realistic dolls.
Right.
They go over to us.
They get up to the...
Go ahead.
They go over to the cell phone the cell phone seller, and he's got like, all these like modern day technological phones, like iPhone and all this crazy shit, like one that looks like a PSP flip phones, and then there's like this shitty ass Beetle phone. That's on there, on the table.
I don't know how Leoru like, made that connection right. to sell him such a crappy phone.
Mm-hmm.
It's like, hey, this phone has GPS, and Leoru reaches in like, yeah, but that won't work in most countries. Looking around, you should get this Beetleborgs more for a phone.
Beetleborgs more for a phone.
It also speaks all 200 languages.
He's like, oh, this is awesome. And Kim was like, yeah, I should get one of these. Like, no, you have a perfectly good phone.
You mean his calculator one that he had at the beginning of the episode?
So, dude says, I'll love you 400,000, Jenny. He's like, what? No. And crowd starts to gather, and then it cuts away, and it's like, I can't believe we got these phones for 110,000, Jenny, each. And Yara's like, yeah, I'm awesome, aren't I? Like, that's the first time I've ever seen people applaud a sale. Like, you knocked the price down by 90,000. And he's like, yeah, for auctions, the fun really begins, or the bidding really begins when the seller tells you to get out.
Yeah.
What? I don't want to do business with you apparently means drive the price of my insane bargains all the way down.
Exactly.
I wonder how far in his plan is getting the police called on you.
Yeah. It's like it's not a sale until you get sent to jail.
So they start looking up types of auctions.
On Huntsopedia.
Yeah. One is actually what made me laugh was they clearly opened up an internet browser, but they clicked on Twitter.
Ooh,
that
right,
made
right.
me laugh.
And then the best thing is that it showed like Google, but with Hunter or whatever the hell it was.
That was like Oogle.
Oogle, right? But they opened Twitter just to get that shit going.
So they look up auctioning, and one is the regular definition of auction, and the other is bind, where you give a condition as well as a price, and the person who comes the closest to meeting that condition is the one who wins the auction. So Leorio gets a brilliant idea from that. And they go ahead and they spend $3 million.
Dude, can I just say how freaking ridiculous it is that Killua's got this whole entire, like, wardrobe?
Yeah, like, and nobody else changes their clothes.
Well, I mean, I'm like the scene where they're explaining to Leorio about Greed Island in the hotel room, and he's sitting there eating that little bunny made out of chocolate, or what I'm assuming is chocolate. And he's got like this, like,
but anyway.
Right. He's got like this dress shirt, and then on top of the dress shirt, this white dress shirt, on top of the dress shirt, it's like this pink sweater.
Why can't you let Killua B fly?
It's not that. It's just like, he's just so. He dresses like a freaking, like, preppy. Like,
he's a rich kid.
He's a rich child.
He spends all of his money on candy. At this point, we should be happy he even has clothes.
Mm-hmm.
I guess that's true.
Clearly, his mother buys his wardrobe. There's a part in there, too, where Miluki has already rebuilt Greed Island from scratch, and he's very upset that it's not working. And he's trying to figure out, you know, why. He doesn't think that Killua would intentionally trick him in a business deal. It's apparently, like, they'll do all sorts of shady stuff when your life is on the line, but when it comes to a business deal, they're all above board. And he says that, you know, maybe I actually have to go to the auction to procure a real copy of Greed Island. He looks up how much it costs. I think he says he has like $15 billion left in his accounts or something like that.
Mm-hmm.
And he calls his dad and is like, okay, if I promise to kill 15 people, will you lend me $15 billion? And he apparently gets the okay because he leaves the compound thinking like he hasn't left since he was 10, I guess, which would be why he put on so much more weight since then.
Mm-hmm.
Oh, please. That's the reason why, not because he's just been a fat ass eating chips by the mouthful.
He hasn't gone outside since he was 10. That's the primary reason.
But he's got the ability to torture the hell out of someone else, though. Like, he still hasn't lost that. You think that'd make a man sweaty? Or give some man a workout? But my favorite scene of him is when he's, like, walking down the hallway. And, like, his shirt is, like, grasping to hold on around his fat waist. And he's just, like, walking down. He's just like, ah. Oh.
Breathing
like,
heavily.
I can just see that. Right, like breathing heavily, just being like, ah.
I gotta go outside.
You figured he would have gotten a Segway.
Yeah, or like one of those, like, little scooters or whatever it is.
Mobility scooter? You guys are terrible.
Because, like, his, because he's fat, and then
if he needed
that mansion is big as hell, so he can ride one in there.
If he needed a mobility scooter, I think his parents would have killed him. This is like, obviously you're never going to be of any value to us as a family, so we should just kill you and try again.
But they go to Wikipedia.
Yes.
And that's where they find all the information about the kind of auctions that are available here. And that's where Leorio gets this creepy ass smile on his face. Very wolf-like at some point.
Yeah, he starts looking like Lupin the Third.
Yes.
Yeah.
But.
And so they decide that they're going to sell, basically, this diamond that they paid $3 million for. And he has a certificate of authenticity. And the way that they're going to auction it off is you have to be gone in an arm wrestling match, and the entry fee is 10,000 jenny. And Leora's already had this discussion with Gon that he has to make it look like he's struggling and then win at the last second. So people would think, okay, if I try him a second time, I'll probably beat him. And the first guy, this big, huge dude, comes and sits down. And he's like, so, like I said, the first guy comes up to arm wrestle with him. And Gon apparently forgot Leora's advice that quickly. And was at first acting like he was having no trouble. And he's like, oh shit, right. I'm supposed to be losing at first. And so he starts to give in to the older gentleman, and he comes right back and beats him. I don't know, a few hundred people arm wrestle with him and lose. And Killer was like, this man is dumb. We have to do it like 899,000 times in order to get the money we need. And eventually, when Leora is asking, hey, does anyone else want to go? Who should walk up? But Shizuku, looking lost as hell. Like, hey, I'll do it. And he's like, awesome, our first female competitor. What's your name? How old are you? Are you available? And he just starts this weird, like, flirting thing with her. And she's
just like, holla, 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 holla.
Yeah. And she's like, nope, not going to fucking talk to you, not even address you. She just comes up, bows to Gon. And she's like, please, have a good match or whatever.
Yeah. That Yoroshiku crap. So Gon puts his right hand on the table, and she puts her right hand on the table. And they go at it. And Gon starts, like, cold sweats.
Well, no, as soon as they touch hands, like, he notices that this is something's up because he feels the Nen.
Yep.
He feels Nen coming from that, from her hand, so they start going, and it's just like the music changes, the atmosphere is completely different, and Gon, you could tell, is actually struggling here.
He still looks like he puts it down with ease, but whatever.
Right.
He finally puts her hand down, and she's like, okay, thank you for the match. And he's like, you're welcome. And Killua comes and leans over and is like, that was all of your strength, wasn't it? He's like, yeah. Who is that girl? And she slips away into the crowd, and you see Franklin and Phaeton like, oh, you just wasted our time. And Franklin pats her on the head and is like, but why didn't you use your left hand? She's like, oh, yeah, I'm left-handed. It's like, but he put his right hand on the table, so I put my right hand on the table, and then I guess I lost. And I really wanted that diamond, too. And he's like, silly girl, we're thieves.
I really love this moment though, because Franklin is like palming her head with his giant mitts.
Dude, can I just say that the whole entire like animation with them arm wrestling was way like it was super awesome animation just for arm wrestling.
Yeah, arm wrestling is important.
Right. Well, I mean, you mentioned it earlier, right? On like what you said about how it's you think it's funny how what was the thing you said about arm wrestling?
I don't remember, but because the spiders can't fight each other, the only way they really have of determining who's stronger is through arm wrestling. So I thought it was funny that one of the spiders basically gets introduced to us through this arm wrestling match with Gon.
Yeah.
Yeah. And then we go back to Neon having that bitch fit.
They didn't actually bring that up, I don't think. So remember
what?
It's later. Never mind.
Yeah, I was like, that doesn't happen until later. But we go back to Neon having a bitch fit, and then the spiders take off in a balloon.
Oh, did we get to the part where everybody gets their mission? Like
That happened already beforehand.
Okay.
It happened before Gon and Leorio's thing.
Base someone and someone get sent to do the auction.
It's the dude with the people, right?
Tachino,
some guy that we don't know.
That we've met for the first time.
Basically everybody who's dressed all fancy.
And then right. Basho and someone have to guard the back door. And Kurapika and Melody guard the front door. And Dalsaline and Squala are guarding Neon. And then Dalsaline takes a bunch of crap to the head.
Yes.
Yes. Because Neon being a bitch. Because she can't go to the auction because in the fortune that was foretold, it's basically been established that something's going to go down where people are going to die. And it's been like a metaphor because it was talking about sleep. Yeah. And so they don't want Neon to go, or the dad doesn't want Neon to go. Nostrad doesn't want Neon to go because he doesn't want to lose her. So, but then we get the scene where Hisoka is at the place where they're meeting, and Hisoka's sitting by the window, right? Their hideout, and Hisoka's sitting there playing cards by a window, and then he pulls out the Joker, and he sits there and starts looking at it, and then his eyes immediately switch over, and he sees Corollo sitting there reading a book.
Perpetrating.
Right.
Mm-hmm.
And the atmosphere starts to swell with sexual tension as he contemplates throwing this card at Corollo. And for some reason, he thinks better of it. I think it's because there were so many other people in the room.
Yeah, well, he looks down. He sees the boxer guy and the hair cousin It. I will never forget. I will never remember these two. It's Kurotopi and then something.
Balling off.
And Pakanode is also there cleaning the gun, and Finks is there crushing a Finks can just, for no reason.
Well, yeah, he finished drinking a Heineken, because that's what the bottle was.
That is definitely a Heineken.
Like, I was like, oh man, that is a Heineken just chilling there.
Mm-hmm.
But he decides against his better, like, you know, to not throw the card.
It's like he sides with his better judgment, not sides against his better judgment. Hisoka is a person that doesn't want to die. Not until he kills all the people he wants to kill, I guess, then he'd probably be more okay with dying. But, like, even if he did get the jump on the boss and managed to kill him, you got four other people in the room who, while some of them may not have the fighting ability, four of them together would kill him.
Mm-hmm. Not to mention, I doubt, even if you get the jump on Corollo, like, I feel like Corollo is smart enough that he could, I don't know, like, prolong it, if you will.
Plus, no way you're killing him from across the room like that.
Mm-hmm. No, like, he's not so deep into reading his book that...
He's probably not even reading. I doubt his book even has lines in it.
Mm-hmm. That's the book. Yeah, it's that book.
Yeah, okay. Yeah, probably. But the
I was gonna say things.
Scene switches to Neon passed out because she cries herself to sleep, and then
that's just terrible.
Right. It's like, yeah, she's gonna
like
be
a
fine
baby.
By the time she wakes up, the auction will be over, and then we go back to Melody and Kurapika at the top of the building. Talking about, they're just basically watching, making sure that nothing's going on, and Kurapika questions of the fact that the troop will show up, and Melody's capable of hearing that something's wrong with Kurapika's heartbeat, and she asks, you know, can I ask you a question? What's up with, like, well, what about those eyes? Like, when the Kurta eyes popped up, your heart started beating really fast. And so Kurapika's like, okay, I'm a member of the Kurta clan. I want to recover the eyes for my people. Here, this is the truth. Are you going to tell the boss? And Melody's like, no.
It's none of my business.
I'm not going to tell her or tell him. Mostly because I don't want to get killed.
You crazy motherfucker.
Right? Because I could tell in your heart that that's the heartbeat of a killer. And you would have killed me if I said yes. So I'm going to say no.
She also mentioned that she met him first outside the Hunter agency. And that day too, as well as right whenever he hears the mention of the eyes, that she heard the melody of rage playing from his heart. Then they have this weird exchange about how Kurapika could tell if you're lying by looking at your eyes. And Melody definitely isn't lying. And he's like, okay, so Turnabout is fair play. Like, why are you here working for the Mafia? You don't seem like the sort. And then she rolls up her sleeve. And, like, Her arm is all raggedy and junk.
Which I thought it was a really good way of showing it. You know, like, because obviously they weren't going to be able to show, like, the graphic that was in the manga. Yeah, but you could still see that shit was happening on her arm. And at the same time, that animation where she talks about the sonata and, like, the devil was writing it and all that stuff. Like, the imagery of her and, like, how she ended up getting, like, she's like, yeah, we were drunk one time.
And giddy.
I was like, just the imagery of just, like, Melody and whoever was playing. It's like, hey, man.
It's like, okay, for more of the backstory. I love that Satan looks like this angry wolf thing. So I just started getting this image in my head of this angry wolf dude just sitting down to pet this awesome sonata. Four-part harmony now. One for piano, violin, flute, and harp. Like, it's like clearly the angry devil wolf has a lot of free time, and in his spare time he's obviously a classically trained composer. And she says that her arm got like that because she heard part of the melody for the flute, and she's trying to hunt it down and destroy it before it could hurt anybody else. And like you guys said, they were drunk and giddy, which I read as horny.
Yeah, exactly. I was like, who was trying to bang her?
And he
was trying to get drunk and bang her.
He's trying to impress her by playing this beautifully horrendous melody, I guess. It's got to be one of those things that's equally as beautiful as it is horrifying. Mm-hmm. It's the only explanation for why people would, other than, you know, you want to murder lots of people, why people would hunt it down and try to play it. And he'd apparently learned it from a guy who was like, you should never play it. But, like, in that case, why teach him?
Well, because it was just like, here's this part of this melody, and I'm going to teach it to you, but someone
without play. Them hearing it.
Well, no, he just basically wrote it down, maybe.
Probably.
Okay. He just wrote it down, like, he just put it in, like, a little notebook or something.
Maybe the guy's deaf. You never know.
Maybe, but I get in my mind, I was like, I'm thinking, like, you know, how did this go down? Like, they're just sitting there drinking, looking at each other. Obviously, Melody didn't used to look like that at all times. She looked better because the sonata made her look like this, like bald and...
I hope so.
Fuck too.
Yeah, me too. I hope so, because, like, it only seems... Like, when she explains it here, it only seems like she means that her body got shredded, like her arm, and not, like, the ugliness set in on her. In the manga, that's how I read it.
Yeah.
It's like... The sonata caused her to be ugly and her body to be shredded.
Right, exactly. That's how it happened, because, like, she lost her hair, she got the buck teeth. Like, all of that stuff happened because of the sonata. So, in my mind, I'm going, okay, so she looked a lot, you know, she had to look better.
I hope she's just with some dude.
Maybe she just had hair.
She's just there with some dude. They're making out. They're drinking. They're trying, you know, they're getting to second base or
these
whatever.
These are classically trained musicians now.
I got it. Yes. She's like, I got it. I am going to play this for you. Okay? We are going to play this song.
And this is
going
to get me laid.
Yes. And this
is going to impress you so much, your underwear is going to fly off.
Yes. Yeah.
It's like rhymes. It'll make
your
panties
drop. They call me Sweet
Flute. Right.
And then I'm going to get all up in them guts.
Right.
Oh. But yeah, man. So Melody got injured and that guy died.
I don't know if, like, maybe because he was playing an incomplete version of it, that's why it killed him. Or, like, because you'd imagine that this sonata is some sort of weapon, right? And a weapon is useless if it kills the person who's wielding it. So... I guess they have to, all four parts have to be played together. But, like, imagine the scale of destruction if someone got their hands on all four parts and they just set up a concert and they got all these classically trained people, like superstars of the orchestral world, to come together for one night only in, like, Times Square or some BS. It's like free concert and all kind of people show up and then they play it and it, like, lays waste to the entire city. Mm-hmm. That'd be awesome. You see why I wanted to find out what goes on with this Sonata.
Yeah. Again, I understand now. It's a lot. I totally forgot about it because I was like, "What the fuck are you talking about?" Like, that was such a like ridiculous little piece. But I definitely like. They're going through the time to actually explain it very well in detail here. So I'm actually looking forward to it now, too. More so for the aspect of, like, who's going to be like, hey, as a band, let's get together and play this, because not one sole person can play all four instruments at once.
I'm sure it's like a death metal band. It's like,
right?
Really awesome. We killed everyone in our final concert.
Like, that just, I don't know why that just reminds me of something like Death Clock. Like, if you guys have watched, like,
yeah.
Apocalypse? That sounds like something they would do.
Yeah. Like, where they'd just be like.
Well, they kill people at their concerts anyway.
Yeah, they kill people at the concerts anyway. Like, the music was just regular.
Right.
It's just like.
That's the kind of shit that would happen. Like, they would have a concert and then people would be dying all over the place.
Like, it would. I think it was the first episode where they accidentally summoned, like, a demon.
And all sorts of junk.
Yeah.
Yes. Yeah, that was true. That was the first episode where they summoned the demon.
And it just laid waste to, like, that whole country.
Right. But Melody, all of a sudden, like, she hears from far away that the auction's about to start. And they look over, and then Pakunoda looks at her watch, and it's about to start. And Hisoka mentions that, yes, it's about to start.
We get it, Joe. And
oh, man.
Is about to start, and then right as soon as everyone says that, you hear the little outro music and you're like, fuck.
I know Ahsoka has to be upset that he didn't get to watch this firsthand. It's like, I love watching people kill other people.
And homeboy has gone through like 7 Heinekens already.
Right.
You can find Fates passed out drunk on the floor.
So we get the Dragon Ball Z thing, like the announcer guy going, things are about to get heated up. Let's see what happens next episode on Hunter x Hunter.
Yes. So, and in Gon and Killua's Encyclopedia, I don't know why I didn't discuss it last time. I think it was Base in the previous episode. And this one, it's Basho and Haiku, and Gon makes a terrible haiku.
Attempt at haiku.
Too many syllables. Yeah.
And in the preview, we get Uvogin. Which we know where that it's going, and you get the worm penis guy.
Mm-hmm.
So some stuff is about to go down with the mafia and stuff.
And did you see that Blinky made an appearance?
Blinky? Oh yeah, he did, totally.
Yes.
Behind someone's head too, so.
Yes.
I'm pulling for it.
So I'm hoping for something there.
Totally.
You're like, what the fuck are you talking about? It's like, yeah. So I don't spoil it for people that don't know. But like, to me, you know, it's so freaking like ridiculous how. All right, so we obviously know what's happening next episode. We're looking at this preview, and we see these scenes, and yet the background music is this happy, like. Hey, next time, you know, it's going to be happy-go-lucky. Not at all. A shocking tragedy.
Mm-hmm.
For those people, yeah. But, it's not people we're really concerned with at this point.
I'm sure, like, as Uvogin fights, like, Frederick Chopin is, like, playing in his head and whatnot.
God, I want to see. I want to see his fights. Because of that punch.
Yeah. Just make stuff explode punch.
Yes.
It's like if you ever played as the Berserker in Borderlands, if you just like equip explosion element to his fists, you punch things and then they explode. That's what that reminds me of.
It's pretty much what he is.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, so I am super excited for that next episode. How about you guys?
Yeah, of course. Yeah. Everything going forward, except for that really, really boring bit where Gon and Killua are learning how to auction.
I think that if they do a good job, it'll be, like, really quick. Like, relatively fast. I remember the first anime did it in, like, only like a half an episode.
Okay. Yeah, I was gonna say if they cut it out or shorten it, I'll be happy. Like I'll be happy, but like I'll be completely okay with that.
Yeah, I mean, for the most part, it's been a good pace. So I don't think that they would ruin it. But I mean, it makes sense that you wouldn't take that stuff out. Although they did take the sushi test out
in the beginning. They did.
So there is the ability to just scrap things altogether, which I wouldn't necessarily understand. Like, I don't think they would do that because it does kind of have like some sort of like message at the end, and it kind of like leads to something else.
Mm-hmm.
But
like, I think they should just like have that part include a homeboy's backstory that they meet. Get like up to that point, like that important thing that gets used later, and then that's it.
But we'll see.
Yeah.
Yeah. So, we got some mail from Tasha Nair. Hello, Hunter Hunter crew. Episode 40 was good in my opinion. Although I'm pretty sure anyone that also watches Fairy Tail would notice that the wow used when based Kisqala is the same one used repeatedly in Fairy Tail in a variety of scenes. Just thought it was worth a mention. I don't really watch Fairy Tail. Do any of you guys watch Fairy Tail?
Nope.
Oh, yeah. Sorry, Tasha.
Yeah, I've heard it's an alright show. I just haven't gotten to it yet, you know.
I'm busy.
Yeah.
Also, I like the pace at which the anime is making progress. At this point, the previous anime was up to episode 49-50. I just hope that Togashi comes back out of hiatus before the anime catches up, which will take a while, but still, this is Togashi we were talking about. Yeah, we talked about a while back. I can't remember if it was in last episode or the episode before. I think it was the episode where Doc was on.
Mm-hmm.
That we talked about, like, you know, when it was going to be the cutoff date where, like, Togashi needed to come back before this arc is over. Otherwise, there's going to be problems. Just because at the rate that the episodes go and the pacing, I mean, you don't want to get at the end of Greed Island. Because if, like, once this ends and then you start Greed Island, then you get into problems of like what happened last time, where after that you only really have two main arcs. Granted, they're kind of long arcs, but they are still two arcs. So that's what we're all hoping for anyways. And then she says, another thing I'd like to mention is that for people who don't have Twitter like me and would still welcome all the news that are posted, is it possible to post on the WordPress site as well if that's not too much effort? If you go to the WordPress site and the bottom corner, you could see what we post on both Facebook and Twitter from there. So you could look at that if you don't want to subscribe to Twitter or Facebook. I post them on both. As far as for WordPress, is it hard to post stuff like that?
No.
Yeah, you're just the only person. I mean, you're the person. I mean, I know I have this stuff, but I never posted on it, so I wouldn't know. But
I guess post I could try using the account, so
right.
You guys are free to post using the HXH podcast account.
All right, so I'll try it. I'll start posting stuff up there. Hopefully it's not too much of a translation loss, because most of the times I just kind of copy and paste over and over from one to the other, like whatever I ended up getting first. But yeah, I'll try posting it on WordPress as well.
Okay.
And that was basically it. I mean, we got some comments from people regarding episode 42. They just thought it was great. The Hisoka scene was actually really cool. And a question that someone had was, when do we think that the new opening is going to be coming on?
52. If they're going to do one, it would be that episode.
Yeah, because at this point, they can't really rehash it that much.
Yeah.
So, yeah.
I was thinking that it was going to be like at the end of this arc. Just because, or maybe like once Yeah, mostly for me, I think it's going to be the end of the arc. Which I don't know what episode that would be.
Okay.
Oh, I totally forgot about this too. Sorry. Apparently the guy that does, or the mangaka for Toriko, like had lunch with Togashi. And like Togashi gave him like 200 ideas for his manga.
So like, clearly Togashi wants to be writing something else, and he's like, oh, I have all these ideas in my head, so and you're here in front of me, so let me just give them to you for free.
So I was like, God, dude, just fucking focus on your own. And it's not like he couldn't do that. He does have fucking hunter, like gourmet hunters, you know, in his world. He could use that, right?
Yeah.
Because, I mean, that's what
Torch was. Maybe he genuinely likes to help younger people. Like, no, can we consider that? Maybe he's just a cool guy.
Mm-hmm. No, he seems like a cool guy, and that's awesome.
Like, maybe he was, like, reading Toriko or something. He's and like, he was like, he got ideas.
Like, your premise is nice, but your story is trash. So here's how you can fix it.
Yeah, let me try and fix your manga for you, because mine is okay for the time being. It's not gonna have to work on mine anyways. I can find yours.
It's like, clearly you have to meet the deadline every week, so let me show you how to fix this.
Right.
You see, if you make an awesome manga, you'll never have to worry about deadlines again.
It's like, yeah, pretty much if you make your first successful manga, you could do whatever you want for the next one.
Yeah. I was just like, it's one of those, like, okay, so now that he gave you those 200 stories, how about he just gets back to work?
Oh, Togashi. We love you, but we hate you so much.
With the fiery passion of a thousand suns. Okay, so I guess end of that episode. The email address is hxhpodcast@gmail.com, twitter.com/hxhpodcast, facebook.com/hxhpodcast. The forum is ssanetwork.freeforums.org. I don't know. Feels like I missed something, but it doesn't seem like I did.
If that doesn't work, just go to ssapodcast.com, click on the forums link.
And it'll take you straight there.
Mm-hmm. Post there, do stuff. We kind of post there sometimes. That doesn't include Diego because he's a dick.
Well, okay, I'll start doing, because I thought of an idea for a forum post actually for merchandise.
Okay.
Like just to have like this forum or this thread for like merchandise and stuff. Cool. Because a lot of the links that I get, you know, they kind of get lost. So if you guys wanted to get some sort of collectibles, because like right now there's like a crap load of stuff in Japan that I've been seeing here and there. They actually opened up this like pachinko like hall with the whole Hunter theme.
Mm-hmm.
And like one of the floors is actually like they're like the food, you know how they usually do like the cafes for animes where they serve like themed food and stuff like that.
Mm-hmm.
They actually went with like the characters were not Machi. What were the
Menchi
and Uhara. Yeah, so I'll post all that stuff up there.
Totally fucking. Yeah, go ahead.
Yep.
Yeah, totally. All the time. So I'll think that sounds like a cool idea. Let me know what you guys think. Any other ideas that you guys want for threads? Obviously, I think maybe we could start like a manga, like a hypothesis or something. Just because. Yeah, like predictions. I mean, it's not like you can't post it on Twitter or, you know, on Facebook. It's just most of the times I feel like, you know, for people that don't have, that are just watching the anime, like, for the first time, like, you know, this time around, they don't have,
like, a spoiler-free prediction thread and then a spoiler prediction thread then.
Correct.
Okay.
Just so that people don't get spoiled, I feel like we kind of already do that for them, though, half the time. Yes. So, because I know that, I, you know, there's a lot of stuff that we, like, want to talk about with all the new stuff that's coming out, because we talked about it back then, but I'm sure that people have theories, and obviously not that many people are listening to us as much as they are now, at least based on the amounts of likes and follows that we have now.
Yeah, I hope, like, shout outs to y'all on Facebook, but I hope you guys are actually listening to the episodes instead of liking the link and then never coming back again.
Yeah. So we definitely look forward to seeing some sort of feedback from you guys. That'd be cool. But I'll definitely be posting the thread stuff up relatively soon-ish.
Yeah. Okay.
All right. What other ways to reach us did you have left, Foxy?
It's only the phone number, I think. I don't know that out of my head. But it will be at the bottom of the post. Mm-hmm. So, over to the website and you'll see the voicemail number. And mm-hmm. you can leave your questions through voicemail if you're too lazy to write.
Yep.
Just mention that it's for the Hunter x Hunter podcast and it will get forwarded to us.
And then you can follow the podcast at HXH Podcast. You can follow Foxy over here at Dame Doctor, or is it? Yeah, Dame Doctor Foxy B, right?
Yes.
I think. Then you can follow Diego at Will of Diego, and you can follow me at Bullet _ Beast, and you can hear us talk about random things and possibly argue and lots of goodness.
Yeah. Most of the time is about other anime, too, though, not just Hunter x Hunter.
Yes, that's true. Or just horrible things in general.
Yep, so thank you for listening again. Good night.
Night.
See you guys.